It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mom and I talked about it actually not that long ago, whether or not I would shut down my personal Facebook page. And it really doesn't have a lot of followers, any followers. I don't have as many friends anymore. Maybe 10 years ago, I went through and it took me 6 months, but I had hit the limit of 5,000 friends on my personal page, but most of them were listeners or people I didn't know personally. And so I went through and I weeded out because I just wanted a buffer with personal life versus work, and created the After Hours with Amy Lawrence Facebook page, started to funnel all the work stuff there and things that I wanted to share as I connect with you all. And that left my personal Facebook page kind of devoid. I hardly ever post on it, maybe never, once a month maybe. I don't spend a lot of time cultivating it because I just spend so much time on the work social media. But in doing that, we still have friends from our past in New Hampshire, people that my mom taught in high school or I went to classes with, college friends as well, and then different people that I've met around the country in my travels. So ultimately, and mom uses my Facebook page, so ultimately we decided we would keep it up and running, but I do look forward to the day when I can shut it all down. And I know how this business works. Once you retire, nobody cares after, say, maybe, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, once a month, maybe. Once people get adjusted to someone new or start hearing someone new, or they accept that they're not going to hear you on a regular basis, yeah, that train pulls out of the station and that's it. So it's really interesting to me to think about Adrian Wojnarowski leaving the situation that he's in. Not that I didn't know that it was nonstop. I mean, he's constantly, especially during the busiest times of the year, he is breaking news at all hours, and he is expected to do that. He's expected to be the first one. That's why they're called Woj bombs, right? He's earned the reputation as the first guy, which means that he has general managers, members of the NBA front office, like actual NBA league office. He's got people with every team. In some cases, he's got, probably in many cases, he's got agents or he's got players that are reaching out to him, and they will, now it's a mutually beneficial relationship, they will use him to get a particular piece of intel out. And in doing that, hey, he'll scratch their back. Well, then they will scratch him, his, and give him other information that benefits his career or allows him to break news. So yeah, it's a nonstop situation. And I certainly understand why it become too much. He's been doing it at ESPN, I think only since 2017. So hasn't been there quite as long, but was at Yahoo before that. And also worked in Bergen County, which is the county that I live in now. So he's always been kind of based in New York. The Bergen County Record, he was working there too. I think got his start there, maybe not his start, but that's kind of how he broke out. He was doing newspaper. But he is a St. Bonaventure alum, and he's been a fundraiser for the school in recent years. And so has decided that he's going to leave what is a chaotic, nonstop hamster wheel, so to speak. And he did say that it's the thrill of a lifetime to be able to return to a university and community that I love in a role of service to our student athletes, coaches, and institution. It's a new role, so there are going to be a lot of people that jump into this general manager job at various universities around the country. And I'm kind of blown away because I wouldn't have thought that a non-football school, and there are plenty of non-football schools, the Big East, the Atlantic 10, blah, blah, blah. There are plenty of non-football schools around the country that thrive in athletics because of basketball or other programs. And that's the case with St. Bonnie. So I worked in the Atlantic 10. I've done some St. Bonaventure games on TV and on radio. And at least then, they were a big draw. And I think that remains the same. People really pour into these games and these teams. But to say that you need a GM, I mean, that's incredible. Non-football school, non-football revenue, and yet enough money with the NIL programs and what will soon be pay to play that you need a general manager to serve as someone who can handle the financial aspect of running an athletic department so that coaches and athletic directors can focus on the sports part of it. So, he says he's retiring from his dream job, but that he's going to now transform into this new role. It's about NIL. It's about transfer portal. It's about supporting the coaches there. And again, taking the financial aspect off of their shoulders. But also, if you haven't heard it, Adam Schefter did a hit on ESPN in which he was talking about why Woj decided to change the course of his career.
He wanted his life back. Yeah, he didn't want to have to work on holidays. He didn't want to be away from more family gatherings. He didn't want to have to, as we had to do in the past, take a shower with your phone up against the shower door so you could see a text that's coming in, or take your phone with you to the urinal and hold it in one hand while you're trying to take care of your business in the other. That's the life that we live.
Now, Adam Schefter is the foremost NFL insider, or at least one of them, along with Adrian Wojnarowski. So you can tell he's speaking from personal experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's funny because people were responding or reacting to my story about the guy in the grocery store who congratulated me on my retirement and then made a well, it was a joke to me. I don't think it was a joke to him, but said, "I searched for you on the internet, and I know how much money you make." Well, he was implying that I made a whole lot of money, and how could I? Well, I think his idea was, hey, you make a lot of money, so you should be able to retire whenever you want, which is inaccurate. In Woj's case, he absolutely makes a lot of money, has made a lot of money, and likely doesn't have to worry about that aspect when determining when he wants to retire. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I was seeing a headline. I went to the website. Here we go. Okay. So I went to the website of Outkick. Outkick is Clay Travis, for those of you who know him. It's actually owned by Fox now. But they also have Armando Salguero, who frequently joins us to talk about football. Anyway, they're a sports outlet. They do some other stuff too, but just in terms of the sports, they put out this headline after the Woj news. How much would you have to hate your job to give up $100 million over the next decade? That's what Woj did by retiring from ESPN at 55. So I don't know the specifics of it, but we do know that Woj is one of the highest paid people in his business. He re-signed with ESPN a couple years ago for about $7 to $8 million per year. He's the top insider in the NBA. Don't know the specific terms. But let's say he signed a deal for another 5 years, or maybe he anticipated doing it even longer. When think about it, that's $40 to $50 million, depending upon how accurate that number is. I mean, who knows? It could have cost him $50 million on a conservative end, but let's say those numbers are off and it's actually higher than that, and he signed a deal for 10 years, which is relatively unheard of in our business. But yeah, you're talking about a ton of money.
I think he had this year earmarked down way earlier. I think when he signed that contract, he probably was thinking, hey, 55, parachute out, go do something lighter, and then
parachute out.
If
why do you think that?
No, it 55 is usually an age if you're making a lot of money. I would think the money that he's making would be an age where you kind of want to ease it up a little bit. At least that's how I would look at it if I was making that much money.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not an option for me. I have no idea how much money you have. Yeah.
No, I'll be
my husband and I will be working for a very long time. Yes, no and that way. Is really an epidemic in our country now with seniors. You know, it's the baby boomers are getting older, and it's a thing where a lot of them have to continue working or they retired and then they have to go back to work now because of the economy. They burned through their retirement and just can't afford not to work anymore. Yeah, it definitely is a shame. Who knows how it'll be when we get to the point of retirement. I mean, I'm not in any way interested in sitting around all the time. Not only do I not have the finances for that, but I can't. I have so many years left that I feel like I can work and I'm still interested. Will I always be doing this? No. No, absolutely not. I have other goals for my career, but also I'd really like to teach more at the university level now that I've gotten my foot in the door. But just beyond that, to have...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A change is not a bad thing after you've been in one place for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens moving forward. But in terms of radio, this is not just my career. It's what I was born to do. It's my calling. It's my everything when it comes to career, obviously. So, yeah, I can't even imagine doing what he's doing, which is getting out of it altogether. But it required so much of him. And Adam Schefter's being literal. I mean, these are things he's had to do as well. I couldn't imagine being in that spot where you have to be available 24/7.
And not to really deep dive into that organization over there, but they've gone through a lot of changes recently. And you would think from when he signed that deal to now, it's changed. And maybe there was a lot more, even more pressure than there was before that to get stories, to get the headlines, to get what you need to justify the money. And he probably was, you know, feeling it like probably a lot of people are over there.
Oh, yeah, I can speak to that personally. I mean, I left there of my own accord 12 years ago, almost 12 years ago. And I know at that time I had outgrown the formula, so to speak. But I still have a lot of friends who work there. And there are some who are very happy, but more of them who have either been laid off or have left for greener pastures, so to speak. It's a different place now than it was when I left. There are, again, some positives. It was much more of a locker room when I was there. If you go back and look at some of the stories that came out, I mean, I'm not going to name any names because it's not necessary, but there certainly were a lot of different people who got into trouble for treating the place like a locker room, especially toward the end of my tenure there. And now they celebrate women a lot more. I guess at the time when I was there, it wasn't worth doing. But it's changed a lot because people, more and more people are getting laid off because more and more people are cutting cable. And so the company's having to adjust as well. I mean, Disney has taken some major hits and is having to come up with a different path forward because cable is not it. And that's something that every media company that's in that space is dealing with, not just Disney, which owns ABC, ESPN, the other networks as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This is kind of connected because with social media, this is where Woj had to be constantly breaking the news. And it certainly does require a lot of even us. I mean, I tell people, they don't maybe believe it, but I spend about 2 hours a day on social media and I don't relish it. Every single day I'll say out loud, I hate social media because it really is a bit of a rat race. And it does become all-consuming at times. And so when I heard Tom Brady and Bill Belichick talking about social media, remember, Bill is just now getting into it, I thought this was fascinating.
Tom, I learned an awful lot from you seeing the game through a quarterback's eyes. But what's tough for me is this social media. Man, I feel like I'm in the middle of the ocean without a life preserver, and I'm never going to make it to shore.
It's definitely a different part of, I think, for all of us, because there's so many, when you're working with people, everyone wants that exposure now, and that's the only way to get the exposure. And it's like everyone's turned into their own production vehicle. But it's necessary, even though sometimes it's a bit intrusive for sure. I feel the same way. It's a bit exhaustive, you know, and in different ways, sports was that. Man, social media is the same thing.
You know, that's never been my thing.
Hell, I know. Trust me. There was many meetings I was a part of where I got to experience it.
Hell, I know, he says. So apparently this was a point of emphasis for Bill Belichick when he was still coaching, that it was not about social media, being careful what you put out there on social media. In some cases, I mean, he dealt with players harshly when they stepped outside the rules or embarrassed the organization, that type
Hell,
of thing.
I know.
So to hear them talking about it now, and if you haven't seen the clip, so the clip is actually out there on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and they're on Zoom. So if you haven't seen the clip, it's pretty funny, the face of Belichick when he's talking about social media and this gigantic grin, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I appreciate what Brady had to say. It's true. Again, I'm not even remotely at the level that Brady is or other athletes or entertainers. And I know most of them have people who do their social media, a PR company that does their social media. And while they may maintain the autonomy to be able to do it on their own, there are some people who don't do any of it themselves, where it's more a PR machine. And so they have either, probably not agents, but PR reps, marketing reps who are doing their social media for them. So I don't know that you can tell. I mean, I can imagine that there are some entertainers or celebrities who maybe have a voice or are part of it. But I would bet a lot of these people, it goes through a PR rep to make sure there's nothing there that would raise eyebrows or make headlines. Or maybe that's exactly what they're looking for and they're trying to become clickbait. But for sure, it is necessary. It's all consuming. It's clear that Tom Brady does a lot of his own, probably not all of it because he does have a production company. But Bill Belichick is doing his own. He's just navigating it now. It is so weird to see these two in media and working together again. But isn't this how relationships are sometimes? There are just times when you need a break. You need a break and a new perspective. You need to see that other person that was driving you crazy, that you were grating on each other's nerves, that you were together too often. You maybe just need a break and see them through someone else's eyes. And I've also thought it's really interesting, Pete, that as much as, now neither one of them would talk about the end of their relationship, working relationship in New England, neither one of them has ever trashed the other. Though Brady has said a couple of times that he did when he was playing with the Bucks, that the situation was much more relaxed And you could tell that he felt freer to be able to speak his mind. And there were, you know, there were reports out there that Belichick wrote him too hard. There were also reports that Belichick wanted Brady to retire so he could move on. So there was friction at the end. And maybe that's all that it was, or maybe it was an actual breakdown in the relationship. But have you noticed the two of them defend each other? So it's a little bit like family, right? You can go at each other and you can be so exasperated and so frustrated and need a break from a family member. Just, no, leave me alone. Go away. But when someone else comes and either attacks your family member or says things that maybe are true or untrue, I mean, that's the case a lot of times in our media, they can be true or untrue. The two of them have been very staunch defenders of the other, and now their paths have brought them back together where they're just each other's biggest cheerleader, which I think is a really fascinating study in human nature.
It's amazing how a few years ago, like you said, we saw them just on opposite sides of the field and just at the end of the time in New England. But I think this happens a lot in football where if a player or coach retires, they will always defend each other more so than other sports. I think because of the physical nature, physical aspect of the game and how much it takes a toll on your body. Mm-hmm. I think they look more as a brotherhood in terms of that, like, and they're going to defend each other if somebody from the outside is going to come and attack them. So I see that more with football players than with any other sport. You see it a lot. So,
well, it's high intensity, obviously, and that goes for every sport. But they had a winning combination.
Oh, yeah.
I know people wanted to pit them against each other. Who was more responsible for their 6 Super Bowl wins? But come on, let's be completely frank and honest. Neither one of them wins 6 Super Bowls without the other. It just doesn't happen, period.
And I think they know that.
Oh, of course they know that. And I love the fact that Belichick was at Brady's retirement ceremony there in New England when they he was at the roast too, wasn't he?
So he was.
But this was the one where, you know, Brady had all his former teammates and coaches back, and they were really they had fans there too, and they were really celebrating his tenure with the team. And Belichick and he, it sounds like, whether or not there was ever a conversation to mend fences, I have no idea. I don't know if that was necessary, if they did, if they didn't, but it's clear that they are allies once again and that their relationship is fine and maybe better than it was toward the end of their tenure. So good for
them.
Hell,
I know.
I mean, they have great humor for one another. All right, so we have, and by we, I mean B.
Three, two,
take two.
One.
By we, I mean Pete. Pete has been able to track down that Baker Mayfield clip from Casa de Club, the podcast. And I told you I found the quotes online at Fox News, but I didn't, which is weird, right? Tom Brady's still a big name. But Baker Mayfield on this podcast talking about the atmosphere and the stress of the locker room with the Buccaneers before he got there. So we'll do that coming up next. We've also got some QB news, like actual QB news for the 2024 season. That's straight ahead as well. At A-Law Radio, I'm so glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for all of your posts over the last couple of nights. It's been good to try to get into this football flow. Not been easy. I will readily admit the first couple of weeks are kicking my butt. I think that's in large part due to the fact that I was traveling last weekend. But we're going to get it. And Pete and I are on this more and more on the same page, which is great, too. So thanks for hanging out with us after hours with Amy Lawrence.
First down and 10, just inside the 12-yard line, near side hash. Bucks moving left to right. Empty backfield for Mayfield now. Kicks that left leg. Barton, the center, snaps the ball. Bell high. It's going to be a quarterback run by Mayfield. Inside the 5, 3, to the 2, to the 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield back-to-back runs, and the Bucs retake the lead.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gene Deckerhoff, longtime radio voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they started out 2-0. Big victory for them on the road against the Lions in week 2. And While there were certainly some bumps in the road, if you will, the fact that they were able to grab that victory away from home against a team that is, in fact, a Super Bowl contender, I mean, I think it was really impressive. And not only did Baker have an 11-yard scramble for a first down, that was on third down, he scrambles 11 yards and makes something out of nothing, flashes of when he got into the league, but he also had an 11-yard touchdown run right on the heels of that, that gave them the lead. The Tampa Bay defense did the rest. And, of course, the Bucs are trying to defend last year's NFC South title in Baker's first season with the team. He recently did an appearance on the Casa de Club podcast. I will confess, I've never heard of it, not until about 3 hours ago. But I was intrigued by some of the quotes that I saw online. He was asked on the podcast, what did the Buccaneers say to him when he signed to be the next quarterback after Tom Brady?
Just be yourself. That's all we want you to be. You know, the building was a little bit different with Tom in there. Obviously, playing-wise, Tom was different. He had everybody dialed in, high-strung environment. So I think everybody was pretty stressed out. So for me, and everybody was expecting the Bucs to not be good last year. So they wanted me to come in, be myself, you know, bring the joy back to football a little bit for guys that weren't having as much fun and just continue to raise the competition level. So they just asked me to be myself. And like, as a player, you really can't ask for much more than that.
Now, it wasn't something that he stopped and harped on, just that it was a high strung environment and he thinks everybody was a little bit stressed out. So he didn't note that a teammate told him he was stressed out or that he heard this from multiple guys. It was, I think everybody was pretty stressed out. So that's kind of his interpretation. But he did say, if you want to play it one more time, he did say that it was a high strung environment because everybody had to be dialed in.
Just be yourself. That's all we want you to be. You know, the building was a little bit different with Tom in there. Obviously, playing wise, Tom was different. He had everybody dialed in, high strung environment. So I think everybody was pretty stressed out. So for me.
So yeah, it's not something that he was, again, he was emphasizing. It was more about his personality being different from Tom's. And I would agree in the respect that when you're Tom Brady and you're at the end of your career, not to mention everything that was going on at the time, well, yes, you are expected, in fact, to have your team in contention for a Super Bowl. And they did win one in his first year with the Buccaneers. I don't know. I still don't love it. I still don't think it was the part about the high strung environment would have been great, but not the, I think everybody was pretty stressed out. That to me seems a little bit too much. Maybe his interpretation. I wonder if he would take it back if he could.
I don't think he really said anything too wrong here. I think that this was pitched to him by the organization and made it sound like the organization.
Still, do you need to be spilling that?
I think he was just being honest. I don't think he was trying to put his nose up in the air about it.
No. But sometimes keeping that type of information to yourself is a better policy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he lives on the notion of being upfront. we've seen this before in bad ways. But maybe in positive ways. I don't know if this is a positive way, but the locker room is certainly rallying behind him.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to add this, because this is part of that same column on Fox News. They go back to an interview that Kyle Rudolph did with NBC last fall, so a year ago. And he said that Brady always kept a positive attitude. If anyone had the right to sometimes be an a-hole, it was Tom. He never was. Think of how tough a year it was for him off the field. The most amazing thing to me was with all the negativity swirling around his life outside of football, he never carried it into the building, always positive. So I suppose it depends upon who you are and whether or not you felt that high strung. Some personalities are different and they operate at a higher level. And it's more about that go, 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 that drive hard type of, you know, focused, locked in, let's go to work. I mean, that's the type of environment that I thrive in. Sometimes there are people, younger guys, that I've worked with who have accused me of not being nice enough, or that I, which is really funny because I'm the one who brings cookies. But anyway, accuse me of, you know, not That's really it. Just being kind of too hard-nosed, which makes me laugh, right? Because if it was a guy, it wouldn't matter even in the slightest. But if it's a female doing that, then somehow she's not nice enough. So I do understand that being locked in and unintentionally creating that type of an aura around you where people may not be as comfortable. But honestly, I think that's more about the other people, not about Brady, right? I mean, Brady was there to win. He had a job to do. Just like I'm here to do a job, as long as I'm not being rude and dismissing other people. If you're uncomfortable because I'm dispensing with the pleasantries or the small talk, well, that's not really about me. It's about just the personality differences.
I give him a lot of credit for being locked in during that time for what was going on.
You're right, he had to be.
That's something that, like, if it was anybody else, I don't think they would be able to hold their composure if this was going on with their wife and their kids and whatnot.
Yeah, right. And not just that, but having to answer constant questions about it. I'm sure most of these guys have stuff going on in their personal lives. And I don't necessarily mean divorce or like stuff with kids, but every family's got family stuff. No family's perfect. There's no such thing. Even for a short time, it might be great, but there's always stuff. Parents, extended family, friends. So all of these guys have personal lives. It's the same as, you know, when I walk into a studio, that most of it has to stay outside the door, you know, even when I've lost someone and it's the same thing with them, right? I mean, they have to be able to do that too. So yeah, it was with him, it was just more public because of who his wife was and because they were in the spotlight. Not as much, I would say, just the general having to deal with other stuff.
And I don't know I don't remember if the stuff with the wife and the trainer started coming out.
It was during the season.
During the season, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, like, if you're seeing that, it's going to draw, if it was any other guy, it'd drive them up the wall.
Oh, yes, Tom Brady, not just any other guy. Coming back, we'll have some QB news that's legit. You're not going to believe what happened to Will Levis in the wake of what was essentially freewheeling gone wrong for the Titans against the Jets last weekend. And also Geno Smith. We were just talking about the Seahawks. He's got his own synopsis of what they need to do to get past where they were last year, getting you set for Monday night. No, not Monday night. Oh, gosh. Let's not go back to Monday night.
3-2-1.
Thursday night. Okay, Pete, don't do that every time because there's going to be plenty of mistakes. Trust me. I make plenty. So every time, you don't need to highlight them every time with a 3-2-1. We've got Thursday night football. Also, Jordan Love back on the practice field. So plenty to talk about. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, and well, the Panthers surprised when they pulled the plug on last year's top overall pick in Bryce Young after just two games. But despite head coach Dave Canales going with the veteran in Andy Dalton, he insisted Carolina no interest in moving on from Young via trade.
Yeah, it's not something we're really considering. You know, we have a great situation with our quarterbacks right now, with guys that have experience. And so we love where we're at, and we're all hands on deck. We're focused on playing the Raiders this week.
As for the Packers, got some good news. Jordan Love returned to practice despite the knee injury. It's possible he could return Sunday against the Titans, despite the initial diagnosis of missing a month with that sprained MCL. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud caught on tape telling rookie Caleb Williams to keep his head up after the game Sunday night, and Stroud trying to clarify some of those intentions.
I was not trying to, like, treat him like I was trying to, like, little bro him or nothing. He knows that too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I have respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me, that those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to get back to what the game has given to me.
Baseball, the Brewers found out they clinched their third division title in the last 4 years, and they capped off the night in style.
And Stebbins is running and delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win. Jake Bowers hit an absolute bullet. Pass Harper at first.
Jake Bowers, a walk-off single. Brewers finished off the Phillies 2-1. One and only Bob Uecker with the call on the Brewers Radio Network. The rest of your scores, the A's took out the Cubs 5-3. Padres shut down the Astros 4-0 as Manny Machado went deep twice. Dylan Cease allowed just two hits over 8 1/3. Diamondbacks overpowered the Rockies 9-4. Corbin Carroll went deep twice. Mets suffocate the Nationals 10-0. Braves pound the Reds 7-1. Yankees survived the Mariners 2-1-10, officially clinch a playoff spot. Guardians survived the Twins 5-4-10. Tigers double the Royals 4-2. Detroit now just a half game behind Minnesota for the final wild card. Dodgers rock the Marlins 8-4. Giants erase the Orioles 5-3. Rangers silence the Blue Jays 2-0. Cardinals too much for the Pirates 10-5. Red Sox 2, Rays 1, and the Angels outlast the White Sox 4-3-13. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it! Yeah. Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This is one of my favorite features that we have on the show because we're obsessed with quarterbacks in this country. This portion of the show, our QB News, brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, let's hop in with Jordan Love back at practice with the Packers. There is some talk that just maybe he'll be able to go in week number 3. Wowzer. So how is he feeling?
I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to, you know, take it day by day and see.
According to Matt LaFleur, same thing. They're not making any decisions now. And he wouldn't even say whether or not Love was a full participant in practice in terms of team drills. Only would say over and over that he's limited. He was limited. He was limited. The reporters kept asking. He kept saying he's limited. So he has to be mobile enough to be able to protect himself. That we know because Jordan said the trainers need me to be able to move around so that I can get away from pressure if I have to. But man, considering where he was on that Friday night in Brazil, this is major progress.
When it happened, it was very painful. You know, I'll tell people it's the most pain I've been in on the field. So, you know, just a lot of emotions, but definitely very painful. And, you know, didn't know in the moment what might have happened, you know, what the injury actually was, how long I might be out. So it was definitely a scary moment, but it was very painful.
Glad he's okay, and I look forward to seeing him on the field again. He did not go on IR so that the Packers can bring him back when he's ready. Otherwise, it's Malik Willis who stuck to the game plan last week. They ran the ball really well. He didn't have to throw very often, didn't make any big mistakes, and the Packers were able to secure a win this week on the road in Nashville against the Titans. All right, so let's talk about the Titans really quickly, and then we'll circle back to Bryce Young. But Will Levis was confessing to the media that he actually had to deal with a situation in his personal life.
Thing I'm actually doing today, like get a new phone number. I don't know how my number got out there to the fans, but I got in kind of a lot of texts, so that'll be nice to shut that part of life behind me. And I haven't opened social in the last couple weeks, so yeah, I just think that's the healthiest way to go about it. And yeah, I don't want to or care to see any things that people say about me, and I'm just going to keep chugging along regardless of what they say. So yeah, but it sucks that the world is the way that it is, and looking forward to having some privacy.
I agree with that. And while this isn't my worst nightmare, I do sometimes get nervous about it. Even sharing my phone number with people that theoretically would be colleagues and wondering what they might do with it. But poor Will Levis, he had the freewheeling gone wrong when it was the Jets, and he had that lateral that was the fumble, and his coach says, "What the bleep are you doing?" And it goes viral. He had an interception, but a lot of the time it was just chuck and duck. It was these crazy throws to nowhere and just hoping that his receivers would be able to make plays. And at times they did. Sometimes I feel like he closes his eyes when he's throwing the football. But in this case, when it comes to his private life and his privacy, I'm glad that he's off social. I'm glad that he's able to change his number. But can you imagine all of a sudden your phone is blowing up with angry messages from fans? Maybe they're asking for their money back, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Okay, so let's return to the NFC. The Panthers this weekend are starting Andy Dalton, that much we know. But will they trade Bryce Young, who they've benched?
Yeah, it's not something we're really considering. You know, we have a great situation with our quarterbacks right now, with guys that have experience. So we love where we're at, and we're all hands on deck. We're focused on playing the Raiders this week.
Dave Canales was asked whether or not Young still has the chance to be a franchise quarterback. His response, quote, "Absolutely." And he's got the support of his teammates like Miles Sanders and Adam Thielen, who have his back.
Anybody getting benched is not going to feel right. I mean, I was in the same position last year, so if anybody that knows what he's going through is me. But it's definitely not over for him. You know, he's still a young quarterback, and he's going to definitely get another opportunity, I believe so. But all I'd say is just keep your head down, just keep working, and just learn from Andy. That's all.
Everyone believes in him. I think the teammate he is, the player he is, I think the coaches and players all feel the same way about that. There was just their decision that they felt like that was the best thing that helps us win, gives us a chance to win on Sunday. And as players, you just show up and you give your best effort.
Panthers on the road at the Raiders this weekend. Not a nationally televised game, in case you were wondering. All right, sticking in the NFC South, Panthers are 0-2, as are... No. I don't know where I got that from. I was thinking about another team and another segue. The team at the top, the teams at the top, the Buccaneers at 2-0, as well as the Saints, who are surprising 2-0, especially when you consider what they did against the Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. And so Rashid Shaheed making an appearance on SiriusXM NFL Radio. What does the team have to do to prove to fans that they're for real?
I just feel like it has to do with how locked in we are throughout the week. We come in and we practice each and every day, super locked in on the details, the little things, and we know that if we come together as an offense and do those each and every week, it's going to be hard to stop, as well as our defense. Defense played lights out, man, and as long as we do our job, it's going to continue to look like that. We just got to continue to keep our foot on the gas.
Saints Buccaneers 2-0. The Falcons got their first win on Monday night over the Eagles, and that's actually the next opponent for the New Orleans Saints. After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. Geno Smith with the 2-0 Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, he wants them to be able to bust past the point at which they were last season. Like, yeah, they're in a new space. It's different. Mike McDonald is in charge. They got a couple of big wins to start the season. But how do they translate that into a better finish and better results than a year ago?
I always focus on just getting better. Everything has to improve. If you look at my season last year, it was no different than the one before. I went to the Pro Bowl last year. I went to Pro Bowl a year before. I think the difference was the opportunities. And obviously, yeah, I had some injuries that affected a little parts of my game. You know, maybe a little less mobile. Other than that, you know, it's still the same. You know, I think last year was last year. We had the same record as the year before. And, you know, just didn't make the playoffs. I hate to, like, try to look at that and say that's something that we need to carry into this year or something. Like, you know, football is football. You got to go out there and play the game on Sunday or whenever you play, and you got to execute.
Well, under Mike McDonald, it definitely is a work in progress. Lots of changes that he's asking for. He's not Pete Carroll, but what's he like?
He came right in and he set the tone for us at the very first team meeting. And right away, you know, guys were, you know, just buying into his style, to the way that he wants us to play. Obviously, like I said, there's new scheme on both sides, and that's something that we're still learning. We're learning each other as teammates and as coaches and players. But, you know, Mike is, you know, extremely hardworking. He's super detailed, super prepared, and he puts us in situations. He puts the defense in situations to be their best selves and do what they do best. And I think that's something that's been paying off. Really love the way that they've been playing the first 2 weeks of the season, and I look forward to that. And, you know, I think it's going to continue to get better.
Although that defense for the Seahawks did give up a lot of rushing yards to the Patriots before they were able to prevail in overtime. Speaking of the Pats, it's Pats and Jets on Thursday night. So both those teams have one win. They're each sitting at 1-1. A game taking place at MetLife Stadium. I live 15 minutes north of that stadium, and there are signs on the highway. Major football game. It actually doesn't say who's playing. The signs are just major football game at MetLife Stadium on Thursday night. Please plan accordingly if you need to drive in the area. So they have signs up about traffic just in case you were planning on driving by there and did not know that there was a football game that was taking place. And this happens a fair number of times during the year, although probably not as much with the Giants because they're not going to be on Thursday night football as many times. But just like 2023, when the networks anticipated that Aaron Rodgers would be quarterbacking the Jets, they had a ton of primetime and nationally televised games. It didn't work out, so they're back at it in 2024. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.